Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I'm sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Make the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry, and he said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, far better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant."
This is from Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. 10 lepers. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Right, Psalm 139, 1 to 6, 13 to 18. God knows us from the very beginning. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You preserve my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you.
This week's readings are quite familiar stories, and two of them are centred around leprosy, which was perhaps the most biggest scourge and feared disease for several thousands of years. The early symptoms of leprosy include discoloration of the skin, loss of feeling in the extremities of the body, and frequently lepers become disfigured, so bodies distort. They lose their eyebrows and all sorts of things. And later on, things like toes, fingers, and whatever. And it's an illness which takes a long time to work itself out. People can have it for sometimes 10 years, even 30 years. But being a contagious disease, it was brought exclusion from family and friends. And in the book of Leviticus, it says that people in Israel, if they had leprosy, they had to shout out to warn people, to tell them to keep away, stay away. They weren't allowed to wear any nice clothes. They had to be torn and ragged. They weren't allowed to comb their hair. It was total exclusion. And also it brought total poverty, and because they weren't allowed to work, so they had to beg. And the stigma from leprosy was perhaps quite similar to what happened when AIDS first appeared in this country. Some of the stories I've heard about people with AIDS at the time were just dreadful. Now, Naaman was a big man, probably in more sense of the words than one. He was a brave soldier. And being a brave soldier, he probably had to be big physically as well. He was a successful commander of the Syrian army, one of Israel's enemies. He was a favourite of the king. He would have had contacts and high placed friends. Yet his world faced total crash and collapse. Loss of power, loss of exclusion from life, pain, humiliation, and probably an early death, as he had leprosy. But up steps the unnamed hero of the story, a young Jewish girl who had been captured by a raiding party. She's effectively working as a slave in his household, but she speaks up and says that her master should go and see a prophet in Samaria. Now, we know from reading Luke 4, that at this time, nobody had been healed of leprosy. Elisha only healed one person, and that was Naaman. So the girl obviously must have known something about Elisha, must have heard something about his standing with God and his miracles that he'd done. The king of Aram, which is Syria, he sends a huge gift to the king of Israel. Phenomenal gift. And it's like a poison chalice, really. You've got to cure my servant having all this money, or I've got a good reason to come and give you a good bash on the head. It's not a sort of present you want, really. How could he cure this person with leprosy? It just doesn't happen. But fortunately, Elijah hears about it, and Naaman goes off to see him. But Naaman's pride really gets in the way. You know, Elisha doesn't even come out and talk to him. He just sends somebody out, a messenger out. It's no grand, for a big man who's a brave soldier, it's not like climbing a mountain up and down in so many minutes or running a 2-hour marathon. No, he's got to just go and douse himself on what he regards as a muddy little river. Fortunately, Naaman's servants talk him round. And we know that Naaman is healed. And he just comes up and he just offers presents to Elisha, who refuses them. But he endeavours to worship God. In the gospel reading, we have Jesus on his final journey to Jerusalem. And he's going through that slightly tense area of the border between Israel and Samaria. And before he gets into a village, he comes across a group of lepers, 10 of them. And at a distance they shout, "Have mercy on us." Now they may have heard that Jesus had actually touched and healed a leper. We don't know. It just may have been out of pure desperation. Whatever, Jesus' compassion is there. And again, he gives them a simple request. Go and show yourselves to the priests. On the journey, they're cleansed. But only one comes back, a Samaritan. As far as the Jews were concerned, he was an outcast. He was on the border. He wasn't one of the accepted ones. But he comes back before Jesus, prostrates himself, praising God. Now, about 600 people a day still get leprosy, but there's little chance of one of us getting leprosy because it's mainly confined to the poor parts of the world. And if it's caught early, it can be cured with medicines. But in our modern affluent world, there are many things that bring isolation, inner torment, and prevent people reaching their full potential. If you read some of the posters of Who Cares, the science about shame, fears, suffering, abuse, loneliness, and I'm sure we're going to find quite a few of these in the responses on the Who Cares cards when they come back to us. Many of us will know people who have self-harmed, contemplated, or even committed suicide. However, there's much more below the radar, largely hidden and held within our affected hearts and minds. Perhaps the impact of bullying at school, sexual and mental abuse, broken relationships, fears, grief, and the list just goes on and on. And the effects can last like sensitive scars for years. I suspect we all have a number of them. When I was about 16 or 17, I had a series of knockbacks to me that really hit my self-esteem and self-confidence. And looking back over my life, I can see some of the impacts at one or two places. And at times, I can still see those traces. When one is in the center of a storm, there's the feeling that no one understands what one is going through, which is why the opening verses of Psalm 139 are so reassuring. David acknowledges that God knows everything. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word on my tongue, you know it completely. What a remarkable source of comfort. So what do the readings this morning tell us? I think firstly and most importantly, We need to be like the servant girl. We know what God can do, what he has done for us, and wants to do in for those who are not Christian. The delivery of that message is not dependent on us being in a comfortable place or in a relationship with the person in need. Secondly, the message for our own healing or for the person in need might come from an unexpected source. It could be rather simple, even practical, or just wise. The receipt of healing might be delayed or blocked by pride. It could be in the refusal to accept that a person's dismissal of God and Jesus was wrong, and that healing of the mind and body only comes from doctors. Or simply, of the person not feeling worthy to receive God's help. But the words from Psalm 139 apply to all. You know, listen to the songs this morning. Thank you, Mark. They were great, absolutely great. But is that, you know, it's accepting, sometimes for ourselves, it's accepting that we actually do need God's mercy, like those lepers who cried out, or like the blind Bartimaeus. Because we all have failings that we have sometimes need to recognise. But when healing does come through and people are blessed, like the story of the lepers, we have to recognise that unfortunately many will still not turn to God and be thankful. But hopefully it will not be at the same rate. It's so easy for us to forget how much we need to say thank you for. And we need to say thank you to God more often than we probably do. I know I do. God, like any parent, wants us to be whole. And the words from the old hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," reminds us that he knows all our sins, griefs, pains, trials, temptations, troubles, sorrows, and weaknesses. Now, I believe that because we know God's love for us, that we're better equipped to love others, and due to the power and prompting of the Holy Spirit, to sense when others are hurting and in need of words of support, kindness, and love. In doing this, we strengthen our fellowship and standing in the community, bringing glory to God. I'm very grateful, Peter, for the Who Cares thing, because I think this outreach will be a significant part of this, of our outreach to the community, because God cares, and we are bringing that sense of God into the community in reaching out to others. I'll just close with a short prayer. Lord, help each one of us to listen better to people and to the promptings you place in our hearts for those in need, and grant us your words to bring peace, inner healing, and direction to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just reflect for a moment on the words that we've heard. What's the Lord saying to you? Maybe it's about being thankful. Maybe he's prompting you to go and ask others. Perhaps take the Who Cares survey to groups and friends that you know. Maybe he's prompting you to pray for those who are sick or in need. What's the Lord saying to you today? Amen.